Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Ayin Vav. We begin five lines from the top of the Amud. And continuing on the topic of the Man. Says the Gemara, Sha'alu Talmidav, Es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's Talmidim asked him the following question. Why was the Man delivered on a daily basis? Mipnei ma lo yored lahem li Yisrael man pamachas b'shana. Why wasn't it delivered? Bulk delivery. Once a year. Rosh Hashanah, let's say. The whole year's parnasa at once. Amar lahem, he responded. It was done out of chavivus to Klal Yisrael. Em shol lochem mashal. Let me propose an analogy. Let me give an example. What can this be compared to? Lamelech Basar Adam, to a human king, Sheyeshli Ben Echad. He had an only son, a prince. Klal Yisrael here is equated to an only son. So he had this one son. Pasak Leim Mizaynoisef HaMachas B'Shana. He gave him his annual allotment, his annual parnasa once a year. Here, take the credit card, Gesundheit. V'lo Yehoya Makbil Pnei Aviv. As a result of that, the son would only come visit his father once a year to get his yearly allotment. And the father missed his son. So what did he do? He changed the arrangement. He decided to do it on a daily basis. This would require the son to come visit him on a daily basis. As a result, he came to greet his father, to meet his father, to visit him on a daily basis. He kept up a close and warm relationship. Af Yisrael, likewise by Klal Yisrael. One had a large family, four or five children. He would be in a constant state of apprehension. He would say, well, maybe we won't be deserving of the month tomorrow. Shema lo yerid man l'machar. Perhaps we won't have the month tomorrow. V'nimtzu kulan me'isim barav. In which case we'll all die of hunger. As a result of that, constant dependence on Hashem, nimtzu kulan mechavnim es libam la'avien shebashamayim. All would have their hearts directed to Hashem. They would ensure that their spiritual standing is in shape, that their deserving of the man. This kept them close. This kept the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael warm and constant, as opposed to getting an annual allotment once a year, in which case the relationship is not there. You know, I once heard a nice word. This is in contrast to the Nachash we learned yesterday. Wherever he goes, he has his food. He goes up to the roof. The Gemara said yesterday, the clue to the Nachash was, I don't want to know from you. Go Gesundheit. Wherever you are, you'll find your sustenance. Don't have anything to do with me. Klal Yisrael, just the opposite. Hashem wants that warm, ongoing relationship. Come back to me every day. Keep focused, keep close, keep warm. That's why it was a daily affair, which would ensure a constant connection, a closeness between Yisrael and Hashem. Davar achar, another pshat for this. Why was it delivered daily? This way they would have it warm and fresh, as opposed to getting it only once a year for the entire year. Davar achar, another pshat, ibnei masay haderech. To make for an easier load, instead of lugging around the entire year's supply of man, just a little bit per day, make it easier to carry. So, three reasons why the man was delivered daily: to keep that warm relationship, to keep the man itself warm, or to make an easier mas o yaderech. Ukvar hoya Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Shmuel uzukenim. It so happens that once Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Shmuel, and the elders were sitting, Yoishvin v'oiskin v'parsa man, discussing this parsha of the man, v'hoi Rabbi Lazar hamidoi, Yoishvin b'nein, and Rabbi Lazar hamidoi, was sitting with them. Ne'eno Rabbi Elazar midoy v'amar. Rabbi Elazar went ahead and he announced the following statement regarding the month. V'amar, month sheyorad lehen liYisrael. You know how high the man accumulated? Hayagavaya shishim amah. It was 60 amas high. Perhaps it doesn't mean your own portion was 60 amas. It means that it was piled up. From there you scoop out your portion, which was only an omer, a sira seif. But in any case, it was piled up very high. This was stated by Rabbi Elazar Midoy. Amalei Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon turned to him. He didn't agree with this pshat. He says, Moidoy. He referred to Rabbi Elazar HaMidoy as Moidoy. Ad masay at megavev dvarim umevi aleinu. Until when are you going to gather together these dvarim, these things which don't seem to be correct, umevi aleinu, and bring it to us? How do you know it was piled up 60 amas? Where do you get that from? Amalei. Rabbi Elazar responded, Rabbi, it's not something I made up on my own. Mikra ani dorish. I got it from a pasuk. He learned it from the Mabul, as follows. By the Mabul it says, how deep was the water? Chamesh esrei amo milamalo gavru hamayim. The water rose 15 amos on top. Vayechusu harim, and the mountaintops were covered up by the water. Now, simply put, 15 amos milamalo would mean that you had a layer of water, 15 amas deep, over the earth. So it would be basically follow the contour, the angle of the terrain. And wherever you are, you have 15 amas water. Says, how could that be? V'chi chamesh esrei amah be'emek, chamesh esrei b'shvelo. Chamesh Esrei Behar? Can it be so that you're standing in an emek, in a valley? You have 15 amah deep water. You're in a shvela, some plain, flat area. There as well is 15 amahs deep. And up on the mountain, 15 amahs deep, meaning that the water would just angle itself, follow the contour of the terrain. That doesn't make sense. V'chi maya shuri shuri kaimi? Do you mean to say this water was piled up like solid walls, meaning it would just follow the contour of the terrain and it would stand like walls? Of course not. Water just flows down, gravitates to the lowest level, lowest point. So how can you say that in the valley it was 15 amas deep, up in the mountains 15 amas deep, which would indicate that the water was pasted to the side of the mountain, the valleys would just follow along? That's one kasha. V'oid, another kasha. Teva hechisagya. We know that the teva rose up to the top, over the mountain. In fact, the pasuk says it landed, it made landfall on Hari Ararat. So the teva floated on top of the mountains. How did it get up to the top? That would defy gravity. Right? You have the mountain and the valley. And you have water going like this, 15 amas deep, a layer, 15 amas thick of water, just following along the mountains and the valleys. So how did the teva make its way up to the top of the mountain, going against gravity? Oh, apparently, pshat in the psukim is very different. There are two parts to the mabul, which are reflected in two psukim. First, you have the pasuk which says, Ella. Nivku kal mayonis tohim rab. So initially, there's a word, Bach puts in mikar. Mikar nivku kal mayonis tohim rab. Initially, water spurted out from these underground water sources. These underground springs shot forth some water. Ad da ashvu maya bahadituri. So it filled up the valleys. Until it leveled out. Ad da ashvu maya badituri. So all the valleys just filled, until they were equal in height to the mountains. So now the entire earth was covered with water. All the valleys, all the low-lying areas had now been filled up. And the water is now level all across. All across, from mountain to mountain, everything is filled with water. So that's the first phase. And that came from these underground water sources. V'hadar. And then we go to the next pasuk that we mentioned earlier. Those 15 amos, milamala, doesn't mean, like we initially figured, that was 15 amma above the actual earth. Right? That doesn't work. It means like this, that the 15 amas arrived milamala, from heaven, from the heavenly sources. V'hadu chamesh asra amma milamala gavramayim. So from Shemayim descended lots of water, lots of rain, which created another layer, a 15 amma thick layer of water, which was added to whatever is there now. So now we had a earth filled with water, right? All throughout, mountain, valleys, all equal level. On top of that, we had another additional 15 amma thick layer of water which descended min ha-shamayim. So now we answered both kashas. So now take a look at the earth. It's all equal level, right? The water rose 15 amas above the mountain peaks, right? And now we understand how the teva got to the top, because everything was filled with water. It would just float to the highest point, right? It floated on top of the water, which was now equal all around. So what do we learn from here? That min ha-shamayim descended a layer of water 15 amas thick. V'chi eize mida meruba. Now, which mida, what expression of Hashem is greater, more powerful, more plentiful, and more generous? Mida toiva or midas puranis? When Hashem expresses a mida toiva out of goodwill, or midas puranis, an expression of Einish, which one is greater and more generous? Have you Eimer Mida Toivim is greater. Merubim Midas Puranis, right? Mida Toivim is greater and more powerful. Let's just stop for a second, go over to Rashi. Starting 5 lines from the top of the Amud. 4 lines. Admosai Ata Megavit Dvar Mevi Aleinu. So Blazer Medoy was the one who proposed that the man was stacked up 60 amos, and Rekivi responded, how do you know this? Where did you get this from? And he responded, from the Psukim. We're going to learn from none other than the Mabel. Continues Rashi. So the actual meaning of the pasuk would seem to indicate that 15 amos means above the arets. Right? So the water rose 15 amos above ground. Im time and belamal aretz v'leipirish bahar ebebika v'chi chamesh esrei bahar. So let's assume it's 15 amas wherever you are. There's a 15 amma deep layer of water up on the mountain, down in the valley. Doesn't make sense. In addition, teva hechi sagya hech also l'rosh yahar. How would the teva rise up to the top of the mountain? Elal karchach. You must learn differently. When it says milamala in the Kra, mina shemayimu, we're speaking about the second portion of the Mabel which came down from Shemayim. V'achi ka'amar, a'idei gishamim gavru tesvav amma. The gishamim added that additional 15 amma thick layer of water on top of what was already there. U'mina tohaim, from underground, yotu t'chidol l'malas habikos v'ashvelas achehishvu l'rosh yahar. First, everything filled up evenly. That was a result of the water which came out from the Tohaim, from underground. Once everything equaled out, now you had that additional layer, that 15 amma thick layer of water which came down in Hashemayim. Now, to compare Mida Toiva to Midas Puranis, which one is more abundant and generous? It says Rashi, Meruba, Rab al Chaverta. Mida Toiva, Meruba la Ra. For sure. In fact, it's 500 times stronger. Chamish Meis. But why? It says Hashem holds on to the chesed that a person does. He gives that tzchus to his children, great-grandchildren, up until 2,000 dirhams. That's by Midah Toiva. When it comes to punishment, to Oimer Ashilation al Rebbeim, it only extends up until 3 or 4 dirhams. So it's 2,000 versus 4, 500 times more. Afkan Midas HaTov Shel Yiridas HaMam Rab Sal Yiridas HaMabul. Here as well. Certainly the Midah Toiva expressed during the delivery of the man in the Midbar was way greater, more powerful, and more impressive than the expression of Midas Puranus that was experienced during the Mabul. Oh, so let's continue. It says the Gemara, for to compare the two things, we're going to conclude that the man indeed rose up 60 amis. Why? So we just learned that the Mabul came down as a 15 amma thick layer of water, min hashamayim. And how does the pasuk describe that rain? B'midos puranus waimer, by the Mabul it says, v'arubois hashamayim niftachu. Now arubois is like a sky, like a window. So two windows opened up. It's hard to relate to these things, spiritual concepts, but the pasuk describes it as arubois, right? Two openings, min hashamayim, opened up to allow that water to come down to create a 15 amma layer of water. V'arubois hashamayim niftachu. As opposed to the man, b'mido toivu oimer, the pasuk in Tehillim describes it as follows: Vayitzav shchakim imal. Hashem instructed the skies mimal to deliver the man. V'dal se shemayim pasach. He opened up the doors, not windows, doors, which are larger openings than windows. V'dal se shemayim pasach. Vayam tir alei man la'echo. And he rained down onto Klal Yisrael man for sustenance. V'degan shemayim nasan lamed, and it gave them heavenly grain through these two doors. So by the man we have two doors, by the mabul two windows. We learn to the brisa tana, kam arubis yesh bedelas. How many windows are there in a door? Arba, four. Again, spiritual concepts, heavenly windows, heavenly door. So we have four windows per door. Arba, arba, four and four. Right, two doors open for the man, a total of 8 windows. Harikan Shmoin, total of 8. As opposed to the Mabul, which came through 2 windows. Now, the Mabul, delivered through 2 windows, produced a 15 amathic layer of water. How much more so, Mun that came through 8 doors? 4 times as much. V'nimtza Mun, Shiyar Lahem Yisrael, Gavay Shishim Am. Which case, it was stacked up 60 amas high, Rashi says. Generally, Midah Toiva is greater than Midah's Puranas, but at least, it's not inferior to Midah's Puranas, it's at least equal. So if we were to apply the same formula, the same proportion that we find by the Mabul, and apply it to the Mon, we end up with 60 amas Goiva. It would rise up until it was visible to all the kings throughout the world, throughout east, west. Everybody saw the Nes and how Klal Yisrael is so special to Hashem. Hashem provides them with their daily sustenance with this miraculous man. Shenemar tarich lefanei shulcha neged tzoroi. Pasuk in Tehillim describing the man provided to the Dor HaMidbar. Tarich lefanei shulchan. You set my table, you provided my sustenance, neged tzoroi, in full view of my enemies, of the goyim. So apparently it rose up and then perhaps it came back down to make it accessible for the pickers. That same pasuk continues the words koisi revoya. Now, the Gemara Pesachim, Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, describes a Su'uda, which will take place La'asad Lava when Mashiach comes. When they concluded the Su'uda, they passed around the Koyshel Bracha, first to Avraham Avinu, who says, no, I'm not Roy to make the Bracha. Look, I had a son Yishmael, pass it to Yitzchak, he says, no, I had a son Esav, etc., etc. And Phil gets to David HaMelech, and he accepts the honor, and he makes the Bracha, he makes Birchas HaMazon over that Koysh. Koysi Revoya, This is David HaMelech speaking. My kais, revoya, overflows. Amar Abayi, we learn from here, Shema Mina, kasa de David, la'alma da'asi, just as the man was given in such great abundance, we said, piled up, all the way up, till it was visible, to all the Malchim, Mizrach, and Marav. Likewise, it was a bracha, in this kosher bracha of David HaMelech, kasa de David, la'alma da'asi, masan ve'esrim v'chad luga machzik. David HaMelech's Kais Lasa Davi will contain 221 lug, be enough to go around, to be passed around to all the tzaddikim by the Suda. Shenema Kaisi Revoya, and the numerical value of the Revoya is Revoya Begematria, Hachi Havi, 221. So we learned Rav Elazar ben Udai explained how he came to the Shir of Shishim Amma by the Mon, he learned it from the Mabul. And we had another additional twist there, the name of Isi ben Yehuda, that at least temporarily it would rise up even higher, so it would be visible for all to see. Says the Gemara, how could you compare Man to the marble? You're not working with the same equation, the same proportion, the same factors. Haladamya, there's no comparison. Hosam barban yamin, hachachadashata. Sure, the marble produced a 15 amma thick layer of water. That took 40 days. Here it was chadashata, it was just a short time. The mom was delivered quickly and that was it. It wasn't a 40-day process. So perhaps it didn't produce such a high stack up. Well, conversely, the other way around, hasam l'kuli amma, over there the marble was distributed throughout the entire world. Hachal Yisrael Chadei. Here it was directed at Yisrael. It was a local affair. Fenavish Lutzfei, perhaps, ended up being much higher. Right? Perhaps over there it's only 15 Amis because the water had to be distributed throughout the whole world. Here it's just a local event. Perhaps it would just stack and stack and stack even higher. So we're not dealing with the same factors. How can you compare the two things? Perhaps here was more, perhaps here was less. Answers the Gemara of Lazar Medoy, psicha psicha gomer. It wasn't his own original pshat. He had a Kabbalah, a Gzeir Shava, to compare the word psicha by Mabul, or psicha by the Mon. It's a Gzeir Shava, not meant to be meshiv on a Gzeir Shava. So he learned, just like the Mabul, those two Arubois produced 15 Amis. Right? And we have the word psicha there, here as well, by the Mon. We have the word psicha. It worked with the same formula, same proportion. 15 amas per two door for two windows. And therefore, eight windows produced a total of 60 amas of a man. Okay, so let's review the man. We had a question. Why was it a daily affair? Why not annually? Three reasons to keep that close relationship with Klal Yisrael, so that they feel dependent on Hashem, they daven to Hashem. Hashem wanted that connection with Klal Yisrael, his favorite son. Number two, to keep it fresh. Number three, to make for easy transport. We learned that the man would stack up 60 amos, all the goyim would see it. Concluded with the kosher bracha of David HaMelech. Let's continue the Gemara. Also ba'achila, let's go back to the Mishnah. On Yom Kippur, you meant to afflict yourself using five different experiences. Fasting, refraining from rechitza, sicha, nigelas hasandal, tashin shamit. Says the Gemara, hani chamisha inuin k'neged mi. These five methods of discomfort and affliction, what do they correspond to? Where do we find some sort of a source in the Torah for these things? Now, before we begin, it's important to mention that there is machlekes rishonim, whether the Inuyin are Midoraisa or Midorabbanan. Tosis Yishanim, Tosis himself as well, bring many rayas from the Gemara that anything other than Achila Veshtia is only Midorabbanan. In fact, they say, how could you make exceptions? We learned in the Mishnah, a Kala, a king. We want to learn later that when we wash himself, when he's dirty, as long as it's not an enjoyable event, it's not for pleasure, it's not for tonic, it's mutter. Apparently, says the Tosfos Yeshanim, it's only midrabbanan, and was limited to cases of enjoyment and pleasure. And therefore, says the Tosfos Yeshanim, we understand the wording of the Gemara here. Keneged mi, what does it correspond to? We're not looking for a source. Generally, the Gemara would say, Menolan, how do we know this halacha? Where is it found in the Torah? We're not looking for a source, Menat Torah, because it's not really Menat Torah. It's only Darabana, but we're looking for some sort of remez. In the Torah, we know that many times, even things which are learned in Torah Shebaal Peh, Hashem hinted it ahead of time. In the Torah itself, Hashem knew the Chachamim will introduce these halachas, and at times we can find a sort of subtle hint in the Torah to something that the Rabbanah will introduce later. So that's one school of thought. It's only the Rabbanah. The Ran disagrees. He says, he actually brings, he himself seems to hold that it's the Rabbanah, but he brings another opinion, another approach, that it's really Min HaTorah. And, so how could the Gemara provide all kinds of exceptions? So he says, well, keep in mind the Torah doesn't explicitly say don't wash, don't anoint, don't wear. It's more of a general term. Shabbos, and the Gemara learned earlier, Shvois, V'inisem, a general description of all forms of affliction that you must experience. So since it's not a specific description of that specific thing, so he says the Torah gave it over to the Chachamim, that they should apply this halacha at their discretion, and they can go ahead and make exceptions as well. They interpreted the Torah in this manner. The Torah meant only things which involve pleasure, rechitza shel tanug, etc., but you're just rinsing off some dirt, that's not included. So in any case, you have two schools of thought. The other nuim, either min haTorah or midrabban. Says more again, hani chamisha inuim kineged mi. Would we find a remez, a source in the Torah for these five inuim? What do they correspond to? Amar Rav Chisda kineged hey inuim shebetorah. They correspond to the five mentionings of the word inuy v'nisem ta'anu that we find in the Torah. We find it in the parasha u'ba'asar v'ach ba'asar, shabbos shabbosen v'shabbos shabbosen v'yis lachem. These are various parts in the Torah. Who are going to find the term v'nisem or ta'anu? The Tosfos actually asks, if you look closely in the Torah, we find a sixth one. And we find two in Achrimois, three in Parshas Emor, and one in Parshas Pinchas. So why does the Gemara only say there were five? So he says, because the sixth one, which is Hanefesh Ashabloi Tu'una, one who does not afflict himself, he gets chorus, that's not a tzivu, it's not an instructive pasuk, it's just a consequence. So we're not discussing that, we're discussing five mentionings of the concept of Inui in an instructive form. And indeed, we have five. Says, okay, so we have five. Hanechamisha havu. But you meant to find six. Vanan shita tnan. Take a look at the Mishnah. We have six. Achila, shtia, ruchitza, sicha, nilas asandal, tashin shamita. Says the Gemara, shtia b'cha achilahi. Eating and drinking go together. Shtia is included. In the achila experience, it's considered two aspects of the same experience. It's one entity. In which case, we treat it like one. How do we know that indeed shtia is included, halachically included in the achil experience? They will ask him, what's an afkamina? If it's included or not. Afkamina is more shvus. Speaks about a person who made a shvua. He committed not to eat his friend's food. I'm not going to eat with you. Says the Gemara. What about drinking? Shtia b'chlal achila. When you say achila, automatically shtia is included. In which case, it's usher to partake in his friend's food and drink. So how do we know this? Shenamar v'alchata v'nei Hashem l'kecha. Torah is speaking about taking the Matzah Sheni to Yerushalayim and eating it there. V'alchata, right? What are you going to eat? So the pasuk lists, Masar d'gancha, grain, tiroyishcha, which is wine, v'yitzurech on your oil. Tirosh chamru. Isn't tirosh a liquid? Isn't that wine? V'karle v'chalta. Torah refers to it with the word v'chalta. Apparently, V'chalta can be referring to drinking as well. Shtiyah is b'chal achila. You drink to aid digestion. It's part of the achila process. V'may, how do you know to interpret the pasuk in this way? V'dil muda achle. Maybe he really ate that wine. How did he eat it? Are they a nigrin? A nigrin is some sort of concoction made from beet juice, in which you mix some wine, some oil, as she says. So if it's vegetable soup, we know that we make a baruch adama vegetable soup because the flavor and the essence of the vegetable gets transferred into the liquid. Right? Cooked vegetable soup is adama, even if you don't have any actual solid vegetable there. So when you mix wine into that, you're not really drinking the wine, you're eating the wine. It's part of the anigroin eating experience. Perhaps that's what the pasuk is speaking about. But plain liquid, plain wine, cannot be referred to as achila. The Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, anigroin, what is that? Maya de silka, beet juice. Ach sigroin, what is that? That's some sort of vegetable concoction. Maya de kulu shilki. That's water derived from cooking vegetables, all types of vegetables. So perhaps he ingested the wine in this manner, which indeed is an achila. So there's no raya from that pasuk that shtiyah is bichlal achila. Elamar Racha Bar Yaakov Mihocha. I'll bring you another raya. Renasata Kesef. So now he has maaser sheni, money in his hands. Pasuk says, go to Yerushalayim and apply it to the following things. Purchase with it bichlal ashta avna shech, anything that your heart desires, ba bokar, uba tzoin, ba yayin, uba shecher. So now, you can get away with yayin. You can say it's mixed into the anigrin. But shechar, that's certainly referring to pure wine. Shechar, shtiyahu. That's something that you drink. Right? Shechar is aged wine. V'kai rachmani v'chalta. How does the Torah refer to it? With the word v'chalta. So you see, shtiyah can be included in the achila experience. Mimai, how do you know that's pshat? V'dil machanami. Maybe he mixed the sheikhar into this anigroin, to this vegetable mixture. Well, sheikhar kasif. The pasuk refers to it as sheikhar. Midi de meshachar, something which intoxicates a person. Says Rashi, 2 lines from the bottom. Midi de meshachar, vein sheikhar is derech achila. You don't get drunk if it's derech achila. Right? The person eats together with his wine. It's difficult to get drunk because the food absorbs the wine and distributes it. So if you're going to have the shecher in an achila form, it's not going to create that effect. It's not going to be meshacher. Apparently, shecher is pure wine, aged wine. And how does the Torah refer to it? B'lashon achila. So you see, shtiyah is included in achila. Says the Gemara, maybe not. Maybe we're not speaking about liquid at all. V'dilma k'vel k'ilis. Maybe shecher is referring to a solid food. This fig from the town of Keila, which was so strong and powerful, it actually creates some sort of intoxication effect on the person. It would cloud his mind. It would put him in a hazy state of mind. As we find elsewhere, regarding a kohen, Pasuk says, you may not drink wine before entering the Beis HaMikdash. And we learn that doesn't only apply to wine. It applies to anything that puts him in a cloudy state of mind. The sanyo ochal de vela ki'ilis. Even if he only ate this fig from ki'ila. V'shasa dvash, or he drank honey. V'cholav, or milk. Perhaps milk in those days had that effect, or perhaps the point is that it makes him a bit drowsy. See, after all these things, v'nichnas l'mikdash chayev. Says Rashi on top, chayev. Mishom shecher al tesht. Says the Ritva. The pasuk is not just speaking about drinking. The pasuk is telling you don't create a situation of tiruv hadas, some sort of murky state of mind before entering the Beis HaMikdash. Sefer Chinuch writes, it's inappropriate. Entering a makom kodesh requires focus and concentration and clarity of mind. In any case, we see that even though the pasuk uses the word shechar, it's referring to other matters as well, even salt foods, dvel kilis, that has a similar effect. So perhaps the word shecher by Maaser Sheni is not referring to wine, referring to devela kilis. And that's why the pasuk uses the term v'chalta. The pasuk of Nasata Kesef has the word Vachalta, maybe referring to this type of food. So you're right from there. Elo Yolev Sheikha Sheikha Minazir. Says the Gemara, apparently we have a Gzera Shava. Over here by Maaseh Sheni, we have the word Sheikha, by Nazir, who's only restricted from vine related products, right? He's allowed to eat Dvel Kilis. So there it says the word Sheikha. And we learn Mala Halon Yayin, just as over there. The pasuk says, refrain from yain v'sheicher. Apparently it's speaking about wine. Yain is plain wine, sheicher is aged wine. It wouldn't be aser in dvela ke'ilis. Afkan yain here as well. The word sheicher is alluding to wine, to aged wine, which intoxicates a person. And how does the Torah refer to it? V'ochalta. Apparently shtia is b'chal achil. So we had a kasha. We only found five mentionings of inu in the Torah. We actually have six. Shtiyah and Achila are two facets of the same experience. In fact, in Halacha we find that Shtiyah b'chlal Achila, how do we know? We attempted to bring a raya from the first pasuk of Maaseh Sheni. The Gemara negated that raya. Perhaps the wine was mixed in with the juice. And we have another pasuk from Satat Kesef. We have the word Sheikhar, which we learn from Nazar, to be referring to wine. And there as well, the pasuk describes it as Vachalta. Apparently, Shtiyah b'chlal Achila. Okay, says the Gemara, let's go back for a second. That first pasuk had the word tirish. And you told us that tirish means wine, right? V'tirish chamru, is that so? Tirish is referring to wine. V'atanya, listen to this braisa. Hanoi demina tirish, if one makes a nether to refrain from tirish, what can't he eat? Osir b'chol minim esika. He's not allowed to partake in any type of sweets, fresh fruits, or grape juice. He's allowed to drink wine. Rashi says yain means ben arboim. Once it's 40 days old, the fermentation process has already begun, and it's considered halachically as wine. Apparently, tirish is not alluding to wine. Says the Rav Chamru. Really, it's not wine. The pasuk speaking about the wine, Lasat Love, it's going to be so powerful, it's going to open up those hidden and locked chambers, like a psula who's closed up, it's going to open up the hidden chambers and have a person reveal all the secrets. So tirish is wine. And says the Gemara, no, it's not. It's referring to the grapes which produce wine. Dover habamana tirish. The wine produced from these high quality grapes, which is tirish. That wine will be a naiv psulas. But tirish is not referring to wine. Rather, the grapes that produce that wine. Says one, really? Voksiv, v'tirish yikavecha yifreitzu. The tirish, within your yikavim, the in-ground pools where wine is kept, yifreitzu, they'll sprout forth. Apparently, tirish is wine. You don't keep grapes in the in-ground pools. Once again, says the Gemara, it's referring to the grapes. Dover habamana tirish yikavecha yifreitzu. The wine produced from tirish, from grapes, they're going to sprout forth from your in-ground pools. V'oksiv znus v'yayin v'tirish yikachle. Pasuk says, inappropriate behavior znus, over-drinking, and tirish yikachle robs a person of his good judgment, robs him of his heart. Apparently, tirish is wine. Grapes don't have that effect. Now, why the pasuk mentions wine twice, yayin and tirish, the Gemara soon will tell us. The two ways to refer to wine. But in any case, tirish evidently is wine. That's a kasha on that braisa. That noidim na tirish is mutar b'yayin. Elo dekuli alma tirish chamru. Says, well, you're right. When tirish is mentioned in a pasuk, it's wine. Nedarim, that's different. When it comes to nedarim, we find throughout the entire Masechta nedarim that we always follow common terms, common language, and it isn't necessarily compatible with the way the psukim use those words. Uben adarim halech, we follow achar losha b'nei adam, the way people use language. And in the language of b'nei adam, tirosh is not referring to the actual wine, rather to sweets, to fruit. So, okay, let's get back to the psukim. We find that yain and tirish are two descriptions of the same thing, of wine. V'amai, kerle yain. V'amai, kerle tirish. why do we call it Yain or Tirish? Says the Gemara, on account of the detrimental effect that wine can have on a person if he abuses that wine. Yain, shemebi yilol aloilam. It brings wailing to the world. If it's misused, overused, a person indulges in wine, it brings yilol. The Balaturim, on the Pasuk by Noyach, says, Hayayin, he says, Hayayin is begematria, yilol. Rashi over here learns a bit different. It says, Yain is loshen ta'aniya v'yilol. The word Yain itself is loshen ta'aniya, crying, wailing. So Yain has within it this type of potential, if it's misused. Why is it called tirosh? Shekolam is garaboy. If one indulges in it, he arouses passion for wine. Nasir rosh, he gets poor. Whether financially drained, or it means he loses his chachma, he loses his sense of judgment, sense of balance, loses his clarity of mind, he's totally addicted to wine. Rav Kana Rami, Rav Kana Astira, Ksiv Tirush. In the spelling, it's Tirush, right? The Karinon Tirush. We read it with a Chayim Tirush. Wine carries within it a double potential. It can be very beneficial or very detrimental. Depends how you use it. Wine is a tool. Zacha, if it's used properly, just a little bit, sharpen the mind, to pep the person up, nasa roish. It becomes a roish, meaning he rises. It helps his intellect. Rashi says, shemefakech, libay b'chachma, it adds to his chachma, his wisdom, to his sharpness of mind. But lo yizacha, if he misuses the wine, instead of using it, he abuses it, he indulges, nasa roish, he becomes poor. Becomes bereft of any wisdom, any chachma, any intellect. V'ayinu d'rava, as Rava tells us, d'rava rami yadastira, ksiv, it says v'yayin yisamach. Now, in the psukim, we don't have any nekudis, so it can be read as yish, like a shin, yishmach. The Gemara will soon learn that it's alluding to the lashon of shmama, desolate. So ksiv yishmach, v'karinam yisamach. We read it with a sin, yisamach. It gladdens, it makes you happy. Depends how you use it. Zochem esamcha. If he approached wine properly, responsibly, it makes him happy. It gladdens the person. Lo zochem. But if he abuses the wine, meshamamay, it empties him out. It makes him desolate. It cleans out any chachma of the person. V'haynu damar Rava, as Rava himself, speaking about himself, said like this. Chamra v'reich pikchen. Wine and besamim made me pikech, made me chacham. He used a little bit of wine, a little besamim, to enhance his chachma, to make him sharp. Let's go over to Rashi, about 7-8 lines above our location in the Gemara. Shemevi yilola, says Rashi, how is that? How does wine bring yilola? Al yadei hayayin, rav hanif. Brings nus, brings frivolity, upuranus balaylam, and it can only bring bad results. Yain is lashon taniya v'yilol. So it depends how you use it. Zacha lishtes lefi mida. He drank responsibly, nasa roish, shemfakech libe b'chachma. But otherwise, it's to his detriment. Ksiv yishmach b'shin, lashon shmama. Bad result. V'karinan yain yisamach, lashon shimcha. Well, it all depends. If you bring up the wine to yourself, so you're here, and the wine rises to you. It enhances your life. It's coming to brighten your day, to help you in Avodas Hashem, to appreciate Hashem's world, being closer to Hashem. Then it's good for you. It's good for the wine as well. You must sack in that wine. And Mrs. Hashem writes, referring to any type of pleasurable experience within the world, if it's used in the proper proportion to experience joy and closeness to Hashem, that's great. It's ma'ala, the person, and it elevates. And it spiritualizes that substance as well. It's a tikkun for that you're partaking in. But conversely, if a person stoops down, he goes down to that experience, he drops a level, and he indulges. So it's a yirida. It's a downfall. He's degrading himself. It's a downgrade for himself and for that experience that he's engaging in. So it doesn't only apply to wine, not to psalm, to anything within this world. If used properly, it's great. A person appreciates Hashem's world, the chesed of Hashem. It gives him a feel for Avas Hashem. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein, they say he used to have some sweets sometimes, and he explained that the Medrash writes that Boyaz, Vayitav Liboy, he had minim mesika. He took sweets, he had some nash, whatever it was, and it enabled him, it opened up his heart for Torah. Rav Moshe explained that by ingesting some sweets before learning, it helps a person enjoy the experience of Torah. It sort of incorporates the guf, the gashmis, the side of a person into that spiritual experience. It allows him to appreciate the Mesikas HaTorah. It gives him a taste of the sweetness of Hashem, the sweetness of Torah. And Moshe Feinstein. Okay, one more Rashi. So Rabbi says, these things pikhun, they made me a pikech, pikhuni, asuni pikeach, because he experienced these things properly, in proper proportion, proper perspective. Continues the Gemara. So we learned back on Daf Ayin Dalet that Inoy is referring first and foremost to fasting. But we have more. We have additional methods of affliction. We have Rechitza, Sicha, etc. Says, how do we know these things are considered Inoy? Rechitza, Vesicha, bathing, anointing oneself. Menolon de Ikri Inoy, how do we know that they too are considered part of this Inoy experience? This is a pasuk by Daniel. When he heard the bad news that Koresh was cancelled, was rescinding his permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. So he tried to do all kinds of things to arouse Hashem's compassion on Klal Yisrael. So for a period of 3 weeks, he engaged in Inui, in various forms of discomfort and affliction. And he writes, Lechem chamudis leichalti. I refrained from eating high-quality bread. Ubasa v'yayin loy ba'al pi, nor did I drink wine or eat meat. V'soich loy sachti, I didn't anoint myself. And as we're going to see soon in the Gemara, these activities were described as inui, affliction. So we see that refraining from sicha is considered affliction. Before we get to that, let's just explain these words. My lechem chamudis le'echalti. What does he mean when he said, I didn't have lechem chamudis? Amar vidu beider of Shmo Barshilas. He meant to say, "Afilo nahama dechiti, dechiyisa loyachal." Even when it came to a staple like bread, he would refrain from eating high-quality bread. Afilo nahama, even bread, dechiti, made of wheat, dechiyisa, clean, refined wheat flour, loyachal, he wouldn't eat. He would only eat whole wheat bread. So he refrained from all these things, including sicha. Umenolan dechashav kine. And what do we find that it's considered ino, an affliction? Dichsiv, pasuk says that Gavriel came to Daniel and he informed him that Hashem accepted your inoy. Hashem acknowledged your inoy. Vayomer elai, al tira Daniel, don't worry Daniel. Kumin hayoy marishin Hashem osata slipcha. From that first day, then you set your heart, lohoven, to understand, los anoy slifnei lekecha, to experience inoy, affliction, before Hashem. Nishmu dvarecha, your words, your efforts were accepted. Vani basi b'dvarecha. And because of you, I was able to return. More later we'll discuss that he was able to come back to the Achorei HaParagot because of Daniel. The Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, will elaborate on that. But what pertains to us is, we see clearly that all these experiences that he experienced were considered inui, right? As per Gavriel's reference. Lohaven ulis anui. So we see, refraining from sicha, from smearing with oil, is considered inui. Okay, ashkan sicha. So now we hear that sicha is considered inui. Rechitza menala. What about refraining from rinsing and bathing? How do we know that is considered inui? Amar vi zutra, prabitovi amar kro. The pasuk in Tehillim, describing the klala, which will be applied to a rush. And it reads as follows. Va'atovi, kamayim bekirboi, v'cheshemen v'atzmoisav. That the klala should reach the rasha in such a powerful way, it should become internalized and absorbed into the Rasha like water, which gets absorbed within him when he rinses, when he bathes, uchashan batzmoisav, as oil, which he uses to anoint himself, gets absorbed into his bones, so the klolos should arrive him in that manner. Chamayim bekirbei, uchashan batzmoisav. So what do we see? Apparently, we're equating rinsing and sicha, right? We're equating kamayim bekirboi, which is rechitza, to Hashem batzmoisa, which is sicha. And just as refraining from sicha is called inui, likewise refraining from rechitza. Says the Gemara, how do you know we're speaking about rinsing? Chamayim bekirboi could mean literally drinking. Ve'em kishtia, right? Chamayim that comes in bekirboi, that he actually drinks. It's not referring to bathing. Do me the shemen, because the pasuk compares it, puts it together with shemen. Ma shemen mavroi, just as shemen is an external experience. Afmayim mavroi, likewise, the water described here is an external experience. Rechitz. Va'atana ifcha kanasivla. But we have a Mishnah in Shabbos which refers to this pasuk in the exact opposite, in the reverse. The chamayim bekirboi is referring to drinking. And the Mishnah there tells you, well, just as you can't drink on Yom Kippur, you can't anoint yourself. So apparently, chamayim bekirboi is not rinsing or bathing, it's drinking. This non, menayim l'sicha ki kishtir b'yom kippur. How do we know that sich anointing is just as usher, like drinking on Yom Kippur? Even though we don't have a clear raya, we have some sort of hint from this pasuk shenema. That shemen batzmoisav, anointing oil on oneself, is equated to drinking. So chamayim bekibur is not rinsing, it's referring to drinking liquid. So this can provide a source for rechitz. Elam Ravashi, go back to that pasuk by Daniel. Rechitz amigufi de krosh mele. We can derive it from that very same pasuk of Daniel, who, as we said before, experienced affliction, inui. And what does he say about himself? Dechsev, v'soich loisachti. Now, if he's referring only to sicha, it seems a bit redundant. V'soich loisachti. Why is he repeating it? It says the Gemara is referring to two experiences. Sicha, and also rechitza. Right? Could have just said v'loisachti. V'soich loisachti is coming to include even rechitza. So he abstained from both. And as we learned, he experienced affliction. Apparently, refraining from rechitza and sicha is considered inui. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. We began with the man. It came once a day to create that ongoing close-knit relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, to keep it fresh, or to keep the load light. We learned how high the man would stack. We learned about the five mentionings of inyan in the Torah, which correspond to the five inyanim. It's really only five because shtiyah and achilah go together, as we went from a pasuk. We refer to shechar, to aged wine, with the lashon of achilah. We discussed the two faces of wine and all other gashmis experiences. If used properly, it can't be better than that. If abused, it can be worse. And we concluded with a makar, that rechitza and sicha is considered inui. We learn from Daniel, who refrained from these experiences, and he's described as having experienced inui, likewise, on Yom Kippur. When we're meant to experience affliction, it alludes to abstaining from rechitza and sicha as well. Kol tov to you, and hatzlacha rabbah.